saved. You only get to be with Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever and on and on and on and ever.
Never. Amen. In a glorified body, you don't have to exist in the body you're in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. We wouldn't want anybody to think we're excited or nothing. Amen. Come on now. Hallelujah. If you would, this morning, we're going to be looking at the book of Nehemiah this morning. Book of Nehemiah, and we're going to be in chapter number 4. I did want to mention before I forget, we had told you about a financial class that Brother Greg is going to be teaching. He'll be doing that at his home. He's going to be looking at some dates and things. We're going to talk about the timing, and I just wanted to, if you are going to attend or want to attend that, if you would, I'm going to ask you if you would see Brother Alex Cunningham so he can start writing names down, or if he can start a sign-up list, just so kind of Brother Greg knows the quantity of people he's dealing with. But it's just part of, as we shared in our vision as a church, the Titus Ministries basically talking about how the older men and the older women are going to teach the younger men and younger women. That's the way God designed it. Amen? And that's what we want to start doing. Finances is a big deal. A lot of people don't like talking about it. But I tell you what, finances destroys more homes. I should say the wrong use of, or the lack of understanding of how to use finances destroys families. And so we want to provide this for anybody who would like to go through the classes for some financial guidance and help. It's all biblically based, if you want to be a part of that, please see Brother Alex. He'll write your name down, start a sign-up list so Brother Greg understands how many people is going to be involved in that. Amen? Okay. Okay, when you sign up, let Brother Alex know what evening works best for you during the week. And then we'll put it all together. All right? Amen. Nehemiah chapter number 4. Also remember Miss McIntosh, who has not been well. So I guess she was back in the hospital. Fluid around her lungs again. Couldn't breathe. Just having a rough time. So you pray the Lord will give her strength today. And we always miss her when she's not here. It's good to see Miss Frances here this morning. Amen. And the Lord has allowed her to be with us today. Are you hungry this morning for the Word? I pray that you are. Nehemiah chapter number 4 and verse number 1 says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore, set I in the lower places behind the wall. And on the higher places I even set the people after their families, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies had heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for who you are today. Lord, I know many times we truly do not have the joy, or at least don't express the joy that we ought to have knowing the Almighty God in heaven. Understanding that He not only knows us, He knows who we are, He knows where we are, but He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die on an old rugged cross, to become a sacrifice for our sins. He loved us so much that He sent His Son to die so that we could be free, so that we one day, as we just sang, what a day that will be. Lord, what a day that will be when we get to see You face to face. I pray that the cares of this life and the things in this world will not dampen our joy and our praise and our worship to You, because You are so worthy to be praised this morning. I pray that our hearts would be uplifted just by the noise of Your name and listening to the songs and the words that come from the Word of God today. I pray that our hearts would be lifted. Lord, we do have many amongst us and many that are not able to be here today that have needs, and we do ask for You to touch them and help them and strengthen them. Lord, I ask You, as I present the Word of God to Your people today and as I bring forth what You have burnt into my heart this week, I pray that You would help me. Lord, if the Spirit of God does not empower me and help me and take over, we will be here in vain today. But I pray that the power of God would be so real upon this church at this moment through Your Word that everybody that has been here would know that You've been with us today. God, help us, change us for Your honor and Your glory. Help us to be willing and submissive to the Word of God that is brought before us here today. Lord, again, we thank You and praise You for all that You have done for us. You are a wonderful, awesome, amazing God. And we thank You for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Many of you know the story here in the book of Nehemiah, how that Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king. He had a burden upon his heart for his people when he heard and when he learned about the walls being broken down, being burned with fire and the gates destroyed, everything, just the city of Jerusalem just torn down. As his heart was burdened, the king saw that he was burdened. And you know the story how the king looked at him and said, "You've never come before me before in your presence being sad." And that was really against the law. I mean, you weren't supposed to enter before the king with a sad face. They could have killed him for that. But thankfully, God gave him favor, and he was such a man that the king was concerned and had compassion and asked him what was going on, and he told the king. And we see how God miraculously, because of his position as the cupbearer, God provided the means, the materials, all the things, the letters, and all the things that he needed to go back and do the work that was upon his heart. And that was to rebuild the walls. Here in chapter 4, we are following chapter 3, where we learn how that Nehemiah had worked with the people, and these men were building from one wall to another. They would take care of their place, of their household. If they had owned this portion of this wall, then they would take care of it from this portion to this portion. And this man would build against his house from here to here. And this man would build against his house from here to here. And that's where we're coming to in the fourth chapter, is because the enemy, you know, they didn't think in the beginning that it was even going to be possible for anybody to rebuild what they had torn down and what they had burned up. You know, and this is such a picture in the Word of God. The physical things that are brought before us are always a spiritual picture to us that we can learn from. The Old Testament is our schoolmaster, and we are to learn from every story and every situation. And I would have you understand something this morning, that the devil, the enemy that we all face, the enemy that the children of Israel face through all these, you know, the Philistines, the Ammonites, all those, the countries that were against them and against anything that God wanted for them. Let me tell you something, the devil, when he tries to get into your life and he tries to, his whole mission statement is to steal, to kill, and destroy. And I say this all the time because that is what he's wanting to do every single day. And the enemy, has anybody in here ever been hit? Have you ever taken a blow? You got any walls broken down in your life? If not personally, in your family? Is there some walls or something broken down? Has something been severed? Has something been damaged? And we've all been there. We've all, if you haven't, just hold on a minute. It's going to happen. Be aware, because the enemy, if you are trying to live godly and trying to do right, let me tell you something, you are going to face conflict. So what we have is now the enemy is looking around and saying, wait a minute, Nehemiah, really, he means business. They've got half the city built back. And we find them here in chapter 4. In verse number 1 it says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews." This made him so mad. Let me just explain something. Again, this is just kind of going to be a narrative sermon this morning. I'm just giving it to you as God gave it to me. What we have, and in our own lives as Christians, this morning, some of you have, that were lost, have gotten saved by the grace of God, and what a wonderful day when you accepted Christ and He made you that new creature. Amen. Old things were passed away. Behold, all things become new. And you become that new creature. And you begin to learn and you begin to grow. And you begin to start trying to put back what was broken down in your life, what Satan had destroyed. Right? Because before you got saved, Satan was just destroying your life. Amen? Satan has never been known to build up anybody's life. He's going to steal, he's going to kill, he's going to destroy. So what I want you to understand is, in a mental picture, when you get saved by the grace of God, no matter where you're from, what your background was, the whole idea of Christ is to start rebuilding your life. Because the devil's trying to take it away. See, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. And what a lot of people don't understand is they think, well, yeah, he wants to give us life, life eternal. Yeah, he is not just talking about eternal life. Do you realize Jesus wants you to have abundant life while you are on this planet? That is his desire. But the enemy's desire is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He does not want you to have life abundant. He doesn't want you to understand as a Christian all the riches that you have in Christ. And I can tell some of you don't even know, you haven't checked your account lately. When it comes to being rich in Christ, what do you have in Christ? Have you ever sat down and just started writing a letter of all that I have because I'm a child of God? So many people today, it's like they don't even realize how rich they are in Christ. But the whole idea is the Lord wants us to rebuild. And that's part of, as a minister, and as, you know, the Lord tells us in the New Testament, as Paul says, yeah, the Lord gave, you know, evangelists and prophets and pastors, and he gave all these people for the edifying of the church. What is this all about? The whole ministry is about the reconciliation of Christ. And what God is wanting you to do is to rebuild. He's wanting to build you back up better. Amen? He's wanting to give you a new life. He's wanting you to put it all back together. So as we come into this story, what you must understand is what a lot of people get into is they get saved by the grace of God, no matter what the situation is, where you come from, and you begin, because of the fire that you have most of the time when you first get saved, man, you are so excited. You want to tell everybody about Him. You just there's just something inside of you. You just want to tell everybody. And you begin to let God build on you, and you begin to let the Lord do some things in your life. And then, just like here in chapter 4, halfway through the project, the enemy starts looking around and says, wait a minute, this guy's serious. This guy's not joking around. And so he gets very mad and he begins to mock. The first thing the devil is going to try to do is just discourage you. Sanballat didn't draw a sword. He didn't get out the cannon. What did he do? The Bible tells me he mocked the Jews. The first thing that he did was began to try to discourage them. Because see, the devil is lazy. In a sense, he's going to try the easiest thing first. But the sad thing about it is, it works on most of us. When he just gets on your shoulder and he begins to discourage you, do you really think you're ever really going to be anything for God? Do you ever think God would ever even want to use you? Where you came from? What you came out of? Does that sound familiar? Do you ever think that God could use your life and use who you are to be a blessing to anybody? That's what Sanballat, he just began to mock them. And as they were talking there, look at the questions. He began to question. You know, the devil's going to, he's going to be asking you the questions. He said, what are these feeble Jews doing? You know, what are they doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? You know, they're going to make it all up and they're going to really get this done in a day's time. Are they really going to revive the stones out of the rubble? Are they really going to be able to pull enough out of the trash heap to put this all back together? And see, the devil is going to try to discourage you. And I'm just going to slow down and I'm going to try to just speak straight to you. Men, first of all,
I want you to understand the devil is going to try to discourage you, especially even those of you who are not the single young men in this church right now. I want you to understand one thing. The devil has probably already told you, well, you might as well not get married because you wouldn't be much of a husband anyway. Why would you even want to go to Bible college, or why would you even want to learn more of God? He would never use you to stand behind a pulpit and preach. Why even try? So many fail anyway. Why even get married? So many marriages are falling apart anyway. Y'all with me? The devil is going to try to speak, and he's going to try to mock you, and he's going to... People are going to make fun of you. If you live that way, people are going to make fun of you. You ever said that to you? You hold those standards in your home, people are going to laugh at you. Let them laugh. Amen? But that's what the enemy's going to do. He's going to try to mock you. And then men that are, you have made the commitment and you have gotten married and you have basically in your heart, you've committed your life to your wife and your children. And the devil's going to come and get on your shoulder and say, why even put forth the effort? Why even try? Why work and try to provide for your home? Why try to be the example for your children? Why get in the Word of God? Why even go to church? Why? He's going to begin to ask you those questions. And you can't sit here and tell me this morning that he's never showed up and asked you those questions. Because I know he does. You say, well, how do you know, preacher? Because he knows where I live. So he's first of all going to try to discourage you. That's his tactic. You know what I love? I mean, and I didn't see this until I'd read through it about five times, and then it just hit me. I want you to look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah is writing this. The Lord used Nehemiah to write this. I want you to look at the transition from verse 3 to verse number 4. He says, now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. You know, Tobiah's now even making, he goes, yeah, even if they do put something together, a stinking fox can run through it. They're just making fun. You know what I love about the transition here? Nehemiah doesn't even try to speak to any of the mockery. Nehemiah does not even try. He doesn't even try to combat what they're saying. What does Nehemiah do? What does he do? He begins to pray. He said, hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head. One thing Nehemiah didn't do, he didn't run out of the city and get in the enemy's face and say, you know what, buddy? No. One mistake you're going to find is if you ever try to square up with the devil, you are going to get knocked out. You are no shape to be taking on the devil face to face. But one thing you have is you have a heavenly Father. You have access. Jesus Christ has the keys. He has the authority. The devil has to go to Jesus and ask for permission. And so you go to him and you say, Lord, he's on my back. And I would really appreciate if you turn this one over on his face. That's basically what Nehemiah told him to do. He said, Lord, turn the reproach back upon them. Don't ever try to face the devil in your own power and in your own strength, because you will fall. But when you go to your heavenly Father, when you go to your daddy in heaven, he told us to call him Abba Father. That relationship, just like a child would run to a father or a mother and just say, help! You know what? I don't have the authority, but Jesus does. Nehemiah said, Lord, we're being despised here. They're picking on your children. Amen. There's nothing that'll get a man stirred up. He might be the most laid-back fella you've ever seen, but if somebody ever slips over and says, hey, buddy, That boy's picking on your boy. He's picking on your little girl over there. Oh, man. That's what Nehemiah's doing. He's saying, Hey, Lord, I know you know, but they're mocking us. They're making fun of us. They're making fun of what we're doing. Would you just turn this over on them? When the devil gets on your back, just pray. Don't look at him, because he ain't too worried about you anyway. But when you look to your father and you say, Daddy, can you get him off my back? You know what he has to do? He has to obey. That's why the Bible tells us to submit to God. And what happens to the devil? He will flee. You got me? Y'all understand that? That passage that tells us when it's not about what we say to the devil. No, it's about us submitting to God and understanding He has the authority to tell him where he needs to go. That's what Nehemiah did. You say, well, why does that so bless you so much? Because you know what? All I have to do when he comes up and shows up on my doorstep is I just have to fall down on my knees and say, Lord, he's here again, uninvited. Can you please take care of my light work? Amen. As some would say, Lord, would you please take care of him? And as a father, you are not only supposed to kneel down when he's on your back, but when you see him on your wife's back or when you see him on your children's back, you need to hit your knees and say, Father, he's bugging my kids now. Father, he's bugging my children now. Father, he's bugging my wife now. Amen. Y'all with me? Nehemiah goes on further. He said, cover not their iniquity. He said, I don't want this to be blotted out. I want them to get every bit that they deserve. The devil's sin is not going to be covered because he sinned the sin of death, totally rejecting who Jesus Christ was. He tried to make himself greater than God. And you say, well, there are people in this life who try to make themselves greater than God, and the way they do it is they look at His Word and they say, I don't care what you say, this is how I'm going to live. You with me? You are saying, I'm better than God, I know better than God. When you take His Word and you shove it out the door and you say, I ain't listening to that, you are basically saying the same thing the devil has said himself. And he's lifting himself up above God. So hallelujah. We have an advocate. We have access. When the devil is trying to discourage you, get on your knees before God. And then verse number 6 said, so built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Amen. I could stop there and preach for quite a while, but let me just tell you something. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior and you want to allow the Lord to build you up, to build your life and to build your family and to build your relationships the way they ought to be, let me tell you something. You better be ready to work. There is nothing in my Bible that says that Jesus likes lazy. Actually, Proverbs has a whole lot to say against lazy. But I'll just tell you, we live in a culture where lazy is almost more common than not. And I'm not just talking about heathen people. It's almost like people work harder not to work than they do just to work. Amen? But we as Christians and we as men, especially young men, if you want God to build you a home and build your family, you must be ready to work. Because Jesus Himself said, I came to serve. I didn't come to be served. And if you think getting married and having a wife is all about somebody serving you, you need to wake up. That's the problem with men that, oh, I got married, she needs to serve me. That is not found in my Bible. I hope it ain't found in yours either. He said, I didn't come to be served. When you say I do, men, you should not have one thought in your mind about somebody taking care of you the rest of your days. Now, if she loves you, she's going to do everything she can to keep you. I'll get to the ladies here in a minute. But I'm just telling you, men, if you enter into marriage thinking it's all about somebody taking care of you, that is not my Bible. I know this is against the grain, but I'm telling you, do you want to live by the Word of God or live by tradition? Amen? Men, you ought to be the hardest workers in your home, not just outside of the home. I know this ain't going to be fun. But I want you to have a life builded upon the Scriptures. My children ought to see, you know, when my children don't get to go to work with me. My children don't get to see me out in the world working, providing for my family. How am I going to be an example if I am truly, as the position God has put me in, I am to be the biggest servant in my house. So how am I going to show them that? As soon as I walk in the door. Young men that aren't married here today, let me just help you out. Marriage is not about you. He made it a parallel of the relationship of Jesus Christ and the church. Correct? Jesus came, and all He showed me was how much He loved me, Brother Alex. And I love Him because He first loved me. First loved me. You know what? He showed me, as we talked about Wednesday night, the length, the breadth, the height. How much did He love me? He loved me so much He gave Himself for me. When we get married, our wives ought to know how much we love them by how much of ourselves we give to them. The problem is we got a culture that don't want to give them 5 minutes of our time. I wasn't planning on preaching on the home this morning, but the Lord put the brakes on. As men, and we need to get back in our country where we have men that line up with the life of Christ. And not the life of some Hollywood character or something that's so bizarre. The devil deceiving you into thinking something. Let me tell you something, men. You want your wife to stay around. You want your children to fall in line. You become an example of Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm not perfect. No, I'm not either. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying you... God, you know, but what I am saying is that is my desire. My desire is when my wife looks at me is that she sees a glimpse of Christ. Amen. How much of myself am I willing to give for her? How much of myself am I willing to give for my children? But in our culture, it's like we got this all flip-flop around. Let me just help some of you young folks again that ain't married yet. Men, it ain't all about working 8 hours a day and that's it. Uh-uh. You should be the first one working and the last one working. I know this ain't pretty and it may not be the way... But if we want to be and have our lives founded upon what He has put before us, He said, the greatest among you is servant of all.
people had a mind to work. Amen? He ain't letting me leave this alone. Men, let me just say this before we move forward. Just as Paul said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. You need to go home and think about what childish things you're trying to bring into manhood. Let me just tell you something, don't mix. You're either a man or a child. So decide. How are you going to decide? Paul said, I put away childish things. You want to be a man? Pack up all the childish stuff and get it away. Throw it away. Get done with it. Get it over with. I see so many men trying to make it work and so many men trying to put it all together, and they want to bring all this foolishness and childhood with them into marriage. No, get it out. Let me just give you some encouragement too. I don't want you to sit here acting like, I'm not here to beat you up. I'm just telling you the truth. I want you to have a home so vibrant and so lively. I want your relationship with your wife to get even better and better, because it can. Don't ever think it's kind of to where it's at. No, that's because you quit working. The day your relationship ain't what it ought to be, men, it's because you stopped working. Verse 7, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard what the walls of Jerusalem were made up and the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth, conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and hinder it. The enemy now is all fired up and they're trying to look for ways they can get in. Let me tell you something, the devil's going to try to find a way to get in. Conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer. There you go again. Nehemiah said, yeah, they were coming after us, but we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night, because them. As a dad, if you want to be what God wants you to be, let me tell you something, it's not about coming home and forgetting about everything and you just taking in all this whatever. No, it's about you being watchful. It's about you being a part of your children's lives and watching and listening and making sure the enemy's not getting in and the enemy's not penetrating an area that they're troubled with in their life. As a man, you better be prepared to work. If you want it to work, you better be prepared to work. I know this ain't popular, but I'm going to tell you something. If you want a home that is founded upon the Word of God, set a watch. Yeah, pray for your kids, but you've got to set a watch. And I ain't talking about the one that goes on your wrist. I'm talking about setting up checkups in their lives. Every time you give them a privilege, you've got to check up on that privilege. Whether it be, you know, I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you when your child ought to have a smartphone, but let me tell you something. If you give them one, you better set up a watch. Because that is an avenue and that is a door the devil will walk right through. You give your child something, you better set up a watch. Men, that's on us. That's my responsibility. Even as a young child, I have to be careful what they're allowed to see and what they're allowed to hear and who they're allowed to hang around. Yes, some people think I'm an old grouchy grump because my kids, they don't let them do that. You know what? You raise your family. Notice Nehemiah let them build from his wall to his wall. Stay off of my wall. I'm tired of people that want to criticize and all they want to do is sit back and criticize what you're doing, and they ain't doing squat. The day you start doing squat, we'll get in this thing together and we'll build together. But don't criticize people that are trying to do what's right.
I'm not mad. I want young men to grow up and not be afraid of what people are saying, all the mockery. So what? So what? We set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. There's much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work. It came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times. Judah was saying, you know what? It's just a mess. Judah was discouraged. Judah was one of the main tribes. Judah said, the strength is gone. These guys can't build. There's too much rubbish in the way. We can't build the wall. That's what Judah was trying to say. There's too much discouragement. There's too much rubbish in the way. But look at verse 13. Another thing I like about Nehemiah. Nehemiah listened to Judah, but Nehemiah did not directly speak to Judah. But look at what he did. He said, therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. You say, well, why didn't Nehemiah go have a cup of coffee with Judah? Why didn't Nehemiah pull Judah aside and say, hey, buddy, why are you so down in the mouth, and why are you so discouraged? Because let me tell you something, if you're not careful, you spend your time around discouraged, defeated people, you're going to be right there with them. I will try to help anybody, but I'm going to tell you something. If it becomes a place where you're pulling me over the edge, Nehemiah said, therefore I set some things in order. He said, I went down below. What did he do? Did he put all the men together and all the women together and all the kids together? No, he said, I put them with their families. Because you know what? In a proper family, and I know there's many people who have different situations in this place this morning, but the way God wants things to work, if you are here and you have a husband or you have a wife and you have children, do you realize that if your husband is discouraged, it's not the pastor's duty to encourage him. It's yours. Amen? The reason David had to encourage himself in the Lord when the Amalekites came in and took Ziklag, his wife was not there. And all the people turned against him. I know I'm getting some funny looks. Let me just tell you something. Ladies, when your husband is down and discouraged and you know the devil's on his back and you know every time he walks out that door, the devil's just, boom! The devil's over here. No, it's not. He didn't put them with him. He said, I got out of the way. I went down to the lower parts and I put the families together. Why did he do that? Because in the proper setting, in the eyes of God, you are to fight with your family. And you as a family are to work as a unit together. Amen? I show you, this ain't in my notes, but the Lord's putting it all together while I'm up here talking to you. Somebody is here that needs this. The problem we have today with families is most of the time, a lot of times, men don't know their wives or spend enough time with them to understand truly what is going on in their head and in their heart. Ladies don't understand enough about a man because most men are so quiet, especially when they get discouraged, they don't talk to anybody. They can smile, they can laugh when they're discouraged. They can walk through life discouraged. They can be discouraged. And then all of a sudden, boom, what happened to so-and-so? Let me tell you something. He's been discouraged for 15 years. You didn't know. We are put together as a family, as a unit. Men, this is why it's so important to have such a good relationship with the Lord, because He is to be your strength when nobody else is around to be your strength. And he is to be your foundation when nobody else is around to be that. You should be the example of having that close-knit relationship with God. But let me tell you something, ladies. Guess who said it was not good for him to be alone? God who made him. And as soon as he said it's not good for him to be alone, God gave him a helpmeet. Y'all with me? The same Bible you've been reading? Okay. Ladies, your responsibility is to encourage and respect your man. Men, it will be easy for her to follow and respect you if you are trying to be an image of Christ. The problem is today, women want to encourage and they want to help their husband. Their husband ain't doing nothing. It's hard to help something that ain't moving. If you laid a vision out in front of your wife and said, this is what we're going to do for our family. This is our mission in life. And let me tell you something. You tell that to a good lady, she's going to be right there and be like, okay, let's go. Let's do this. The problem is they're looking around going, well, if you ain't going anywhere, I am. Amen? That's why women lose respect. I'm going to try to get to the message if the Lord will let me. I'm going to give it to you in like 2 minutes and we'll be done. Judah comes up complaining. Then Nehemiah says in verse 13, therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places. I even set people after their families with their swords. Families have to be founded on the Word of God if you're going to be effective. It's my responsibility as the man to know that my children know how to use a sword. The sword. Their spears and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and the rulers and the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. That word terrible does not mean he's awful. It means he's awesome. Amen. Remember who your God is. And he said, fight for your brethren. He didn't say with your brethren. We do a lot of good of that, don't we? The command is not fight with your brethren. Fight for your brethren. Your sons. Your daughters. Your wives and your houses. Does anywhere in that verse say to fight for yourself? How many arguments do you get in, and the reason you're in that argument is because you're fighting for yourself? Most arguments in a home, where do they become? They come because I'm fighting for me and what I think about it, my opinion, and the way I see it. Nehemiah didn't say fight for yourself. No, he said fight. Remember what you're fighting for. You're fighting for your brethren. You're fighting for your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. So men, let me just tell you something. Get over the fact you ain't always going to be right. And all the ladies said, okay, you're not always going to be right. So don't fight for you. Get your info from the Bible and you'll be okay. Because when you look at your wife and says and say, the Lord said, here it is. She can't look at you and be like, well, I don't agree with that, unless she wants to be talking to God and saying, I don't agree with what you say. That's a very dangerous place to be. Quit fighting for yourself. It's not about you. This fight is not about me. This fight is about my boys, my girls, my wife, and my home. This is the meat of the message. I'm going to give it to you. There were two verses that talked about, the enemy was talking about, how are they going to dig up out of the rubbish anything to build? And then Judah even mentions this, there's just too much rubbish. The devil is going to try to attack you. He's going to take some walls out. He's going to do what he can. But let me tell you something. You've got to remember that when God is rebuilding, Nehemiah was having them go through the rubbish, go through all the stuff, because the good stones, just like if this wall was to be pushed over, whatever, yeah, there's going to be some casualties because these are concrete blocks. But if they were solid rocks, like they built with back in those days, they're just going to be laid in a heap. And yeah, there's going to be, you know, wood and everything piled up. It was burning and smoking. And I mean, it's just an awful sight. But the problem is today, we want to walk by all the things that used to be. We want to walk by all the things, the walls that used to be there and that are laying here. And we want to go find new stuff. And not only that, we want to start building over here instead of what's on the foundation. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Yeah, it might be easier, but you got to remember, they didn't have Redding Rock back in those days. They didn't have Dapper Companies. They didn't have Brick Tech. Nehemiah didn't have somewhere he could go and just buy all new stones and say, yeah, you deliver them right over there. No, he said, people, go down through that rubbish. Dig up those stones. Clean them off. Put them back on that wall. It is not time when you rebuild, it is not time to redraw where the foundation ought to be. No, the foundation has been laid. And that was on Christ Jesus. I am not to choose, well, I know back in those days the belief was this and the belief. No, it's right here, it's always been here, and it forever will be here. And then here's the last thing. You know what? When the devil comes in and makes a mess, those of you that have been involved in a mess, there's a lot of stuff you can't use anymore. Anybody in here ever been to a house that was on fire? They actually saved the house, but a portion of the house was just demolished. You know, there's a lot of things in a pile there we can't use anymore. But you know what they don't do, Brother Greg? They don't get the track hoe out and start digging up the foundation just because they had a fire in the house. No. They go to where, okay, it was burned up to this point, and it was burned up to this point. Yeah, we can't use that anymore, but we can still use what is there. And what a lot of people want to do when the devil comes in and destroys, they want to throw away their sons and their wives and their daughters and start with something new. Hello. That is not what God wants. He said, yeah, it's a mess. The devil made a mess, but you get down in there. And you start digging out them stones. Say, honey, I know it's been a mess. And I know I've made a mess. And I know I've caused, but let me tell you something. We're going to do this. We're going to do this together. Amen? Be ready to get in the middle of a mess when the devil tries to destroy. Be willing to work. But men, let this be your guide. Stop fighting for yourself. It's not about you. Show your family. You know what? Your children and your wife will listen. When you open the Word of God and you say, this is why we're doing what we're doing. It's right here. We need to be doing that today. Some of you are on the beginning of your home. Some of you are thinking about starting a home. Let me tell you something. We need to get close to the Lord. We need to get with Him because the enemy is after you. He's trying to destroy you. And I'm here this morning as your pastor, as a minister of the Word of God. I am here encouraging you to get in the book and do it the way He showed us how to do it. Because when you do it His way, He is in authority and the devil is not. When He tells me to do something a certain way and I obey Him, then I am putting myself under His protection. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love You and we thank You. I thank You for Your Word. I appreciate the attentiveness of the people. And I pray that their hearts have been fed as mine has been. I pray that You'd help me, Lord, as I try to lead my home. I just want them to see a glimpse of You. I pray that our church family, Lord, that would be the desire of every family in this building,
There may be some messes out there. There may be some rubbish. But we need to have a mind to work, and we need to be willing to get back down in there and dig all out the good that we can use and start building the wall back. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll have you stand with heads bowed and eyes closed as Lydia comes. She's going to play through a stanza. I don't know how the Lord may be speaking to your heart today.